Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? O gracious Father, we pray that you would keep your promise now, so that when your word goes forth, it will not return to you void without accomplishing that purpose for which you sent it forth. Grant that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know about you, but I like a good rags-to-riches story. Right? There are lots of rags-to-riches story. One of those is a story of a man named Larry Ellison. Maybe you've heard that story. I like it because it shows what it is possible to do in a place like the United States. Larry was born on the Lower East Side of New York City. As a baby, he contracted pneumonia, and for some reason or other, that left his mother unable to care for him, and so she sent him to live with her aunt and uncle in Chicago, on the south side there of Chicago. He grew up there, never met his father. Grew up, I suppose, thinking that his aunt and uncle were his father and mother. No, they were not both his father. They were his father and mother. And he did manage to go to college. And in 1977, he founded a company called Software Development. In 1982, that became Oracle Software. And today, Larry has an estimated net worth of $46.2 billion. Man, what a story. Rags to riches, huh? But for every rags to riches story, there's also a riches to rags story. Just the opposite, where someone goes from riches to rags. It is one of those riches to rags story that St. Paul alludes to in our scripture passage for this morning. I'd like to read that passage right now. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It's written in your bulletin for you, and it reads like this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Though he was rich, he became poor. Let's ponder that for just a minute, shall we? In what way was Jesus rich? Well, one way in which he was rich was he was the creator of everything, right? If you make something, it's yours, I suppose. My son, when he was, probably 11 or 12, made a trebuchet. And he corrected me every time I called it a catapult. That no, it's not a catapult, it's a trebuchet. One day I made the mistake of fiddling around with his trebuchet, and he assured me that was his trebuchet. Even though he had used our lumber to build it, it was his trebuchet. He built it, and it was his. And I learned my lesson. If you build something, it's yours, right? And, well, Jesus made everything. He created it all, right? The universe and everything outside of the universe. He made it all. And so he was rich in that way. Everything belongs to him. But he was rich in another way too, and that is because of his very person. The Bible says he existed in the form of God. Right? He was God the Son. The angels bow down to him and they worship him. He truly was rich. But now comes the dependent clause of this passage, right? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, in what way did Jesus become poor? I am tempted to think, well, if you're God and then you become a human being, well, right away, that's a big demotion, isn't it? That he was poor in that way. But you know what? He's exalted now, but he still has his human flesh. So that couldn't be really what it refers to when it says he became poor, it must be this, that it's the kind of person he became that made him become poor. So simply becoming man isn't the totality of his poverty. It's the kind of man he became that made him poor. Right? He himself said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Remember, when it came time to pay his taxes, he didn't have the money to pay it. So remember, he told Peter to go out and catch a fish. And when he caught the fish, he would open up his mouth. And inside his mouth, there's a coin. And that coin would pay his tax that day. When it came time to have the Last Supper, he didn't have a place to have it. He didn't own a building. He didn't own a home. And so he had to use someone else's building in which to have the Last Supper there with his disciples, the Passover dinner. One commentator says this: he denied himself even ordinary prosperity. The Bible says that when he became poor, he emptied himself of the use of his divinity, of his divine powers, of the glory that he'd had before in heaven. He emptied himself of it all. He denied himself the use of all of it. He became poor. And then, what does our passage say? Why did he do it? Here's the answer: for your sakes. Yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? So that you, through his poverty, might become rich. For your sakes. You needed him. That's why he did it. Now, I'd like to ask a question related to this. And it's the reason that Paul is saying all this to the Corinthians. Our Lord Jesus gave up his riches for me. You know what? There should not be a selfish Christian. There shouldn't be. That's an oxymoron, really, or it should be, right? How do you regard your riches? He gave up his riches for you. How do you regard your riches? As your own? Or as tools to be used to the service of your Lord? How do you regard your riches, your time, your body, your mind? As tools to be used by God or as your own personal property? I find that I am often like my son and his trebuchet. I claim these things as my own. And really, there ought not be a stingy Christian. I ought not be covetous for more. Right? My guess is that you are often like my son and his trebuchet. And that is why, though he was rich, he became poor. Because that is a sin. To regard all these things as my own, to be used for me, that is a sin. Right? To be covetous is a sin. To want all these things as my own, it's wrong. It's not wrong to be wealthy. It's wrong to regard all that wealth as my own personal property to be used for my enjoyment only. And that is why, though he was rich, he became poor for your sakes, so that he could go to the cross and pay for your sins of greed and covetousness and selfishness, and so that you can have real riches. Listen again to that last part. That you, through his poverty, might become rich. How do you become rich? Well, notice the Corinthians weren't rich already. He says, so that you might become rich. That happens the moment we enter heaven. We get his riches. He gives those riches to us, right? Now, how does that become yours? Well, by simply trusting him. He's already given it to you. Now, if you just believe it, it is yours, right? It's already yours. Just believe it. That's what he says. These true riches are yours because he's given them to you to use, given to you by God so that you can use them for the benefit of those around you and to his glory. May God help us to see it that way. Amen. Would you please open to the last page of your bulletin, and there is a prayer for this week. And would you please bow your head with me, and let's pray that together, shall we? Almighty and everlasting God, you have made us heirs of your eternal and great promises. Increase in us daily the gifts of faith, hope, and love, that we may love all that you command. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.